And that is why you don't need a sermon today. It's a family service, so I am going to be very brief, and I'm going to summarize a fair amount of what just happened there in the concluding part of that. But this is going to be a short message, and I'm hoping that the kids will at a few different points participate, but I'm hoping the kids, just because they're here, will be listening in or at least be knowing that their parents are listening, because this is one of those messages. Remember a couple of weeks ago I said, you know, we're addressing the leaders today, but even if you're not a leader, you need to hear this so that your leaders know that you're hearing this. Well, kids, you need to hear this so that your parents know that you're hearing this, because there might be some interesting conversations that can happen. I'm going to try to include a few of those things today. So, a quick Google search will tell you that people have very conflicting ideas about what matters most in life. Some people will say relationships matter most. Some people will say having values matters most. Some people will say making a difference in the world is what matters most in life. And when we get competing answers like that, where do we go? Kids, where do we go to find out what God has to say about something? Wow. That was anticlimactic, wasn't it? Kids, where do we look to find out what God has to say about whatever it is that we have questions about? Sophia. The Bible, well done. My New Testament press professor, when he was really impressed with someone's answer, would be like, free jar of Vegemite for you. So, free jar of Vegemite for you. Anyway, we look to Scripture. Now, kids, once again, Jesus was once asked, what is the most important thing that God has told us to do? Do you remember that? Someone comes up to Jesus and they're quizzing him, and they ask him, what's the most important commandment that God has given? And kids, how does he respond? What does Jesus say is the most important thing? You answered, Sophia. You got to elbow someone else and be like, you know this. You answer. Who else? You're elbowing Nathan. Someone give me an answer. What does Jesus say is the most important thing? Anyone? Love the Lord your God. And that comes from Scripture, right? Jesus didn't make that up, did he? When someone asks Jesus, what's the most important thing, he quotes God. He goes back to Scripture and quotes what God says. Jesus says, love the Lord your God is first of all the most important thing, and the second most important thing is love your neighbor as yourself. And he's quoting a different part of Scripture. Love the Lord your God is Deuteronomy. Love your neighbor as yourself is Leviticus. We summarize these things here, and you see this on your bulletin every single week. We probably just glance right past it, don't we? But it's at the top of your bulletin. Up, out, and in. That's how we summarize these three great commandments that Jesus gives us. Up, love God. Out, love neighbor. In, love one another. These are the three big commandments that Jesus gives us. They're the three most important things. And today's verses, what we are looking at in Micah, in fact, the most famous verses in Micah, one of the most famous verses probably in all of the Old Testament, is simply a paraphrase of what Jesus says here, or a paraphrase of other parts of Scripture. Up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Out, love your neighbor as yourself. In, love one another. That's no different than do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. So let's get to those verses. Micah 6:6-8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Those opening lines, with what shall I come before the Lord? How am I going to pay for my sin? I have always read those lines as though they were confessions of guilt. Sort of a person in despair going, I don't know, I have sinned up a storm this week, and I don't know how I can possibly make up for that to God. I can't do it. That is how I have always read those verses. Until I read commentary after commentary after commentary this week that said, actually, no, these are sarcastic answers back to God from people who are defensive about the fact that they have been oppressing the poor, but they think God's cool with it because they've been putting their money in the offering plate. It's actually a sarcastic way of saying, what more does God want? We already put the money in the plate. We've paid our offerings. What's the big deal? Why are you bugging us, preacher man? That's their response to Micah. The people that Micah is addressing have essentially been oppressing the poor. It's sort of like you, perhaps you're a parent or you oversee someone, you oversee little kids, and you know, you're walking into the room and there's a 12-year-old sitting on a 5-year-old's head. And you walk in and the 12-year-old says, "What? I cleaned my room. What's your problem?" That is exactly what is going on here. The people are saying, we have done the things that we're supposed to be doing by putting money in the offering plate. We've brought our sacrifices. Sacrifice is just a way of talking about money, right? We've paid our money, and it doesn't matter that we are oppressing the poor. It doesn't matter that we're stealing from them at all. Meanwhile, Micah is saying, actually, it matters more that you're sitting on the heads of these people, that you're hurting them. So the people are asking, well, what more does God want? So Micah reminds them of what God wants. Most famous verses, right? Act justly. What does it mean to act justly? Well, put yourself in their position. Put yourself in the position of someone who needs the mustard seed and the food bank and donations from a benevolent fund. Put yourself in a position of someone who has to receive those things, and that will answer for you what it means to act justly. Okay? The people who rely on donations for the benevolent fund, the people who rely on the Salvation Army and the mustard seed, are people who are really, really hoping that there are some middle-class people around the place that are going to be giving regularly to those places. The people who rely on these services are really, really hoping that there are other people in the city who can volunteer their time to make sure that these services keep running because they can't pay enough people to meet all the needs. The people who need the mustard seed really hope that churches are actually looking for ways to support those places. Put ourselves in the position of people who need it, and we will understand what it means to act justly. Annika, would you go to the next slide, please? Thanks. Act justly, love mercy. This is actually a difficult verse to translate because the Hebrew has two different words for love. And so it's actually love, different word. So the reason why you will actually see so many different translations is because that the second word, love, is the word chesed. You have to get the ch in there to pronounce it properly, kind of like if you scare a cat, it'll go ch. Right? That is how you pronounce chesed. If you say hesed, that'd be a different word. Okay? They spell it differently. So anyway, the word chesed, it's much more broad than simply mercy. Mercy is rather narrow. Chesed is a little bit bigger than that. It's actually a lot more about generosity. It's about compassion. It's about showing kindness. Mercy is one expression of that. So we have to find ways to fall in love with showing those kinds of things. Mercy, compassion, generosity. Those are the people, that's the kind of people that we need to be. So, kids, listen up. Parents, listen up. If your kid asks you, how is it, mom, dad, other person I look up to? If a little kid asks you, how do you as an individual or how do you guys as a family act justly and love mercy? What are you going to tell them? That is worth asking ourselves, because we should be able to give an answer to that question. And if we're now feeling a little bit worried and anxious that maybe they might, that might just be an indication that we need to up our game in the area of acting justly and loving mercy. Now, kids, this is not giving you permission to be rude and saying to your parents, how do you guys act justly and love mercy? No, no, no. But it is an encouragement to all of us here, including the kids, that we can open up this conversation, whether we're parents talking to kids or whether it's kids talking to parents or whatever the relationship is. Maybe it's just two friends over coffee, but we can actually have permission to open up that conversation and say, how do we do this and how can we do it better? How can we fill the most important things, the things that matter the most to God, are up, out, and in, or as Micah paraphrases it, act justly and love mercy. How can we do that together? Because those are great conversations to have over lunch after a sermon or in the car on the way home, right? Let me give you some examples of how you can start to incorporate that even more. Sign up for the coldest night of the year. We've done this a number of times, people from Unity, individuals. The coldest night of the year is an opportunity to raise money for the mustard seed. It happens usually around February, end of February, and you have a chance to raise money, go on a walk through the cold, and do it with your kids. Get your kids to raise the money, and then bring them. Bring them down. It starts the mustard seed. Bring them down and actually show them the place. This is where people come who need a meal because they don't have a mom and dad to put it on the table in front of them tonight. They don't have anyone else looking out for them. Do that. I have taken my kids grocery shopping a number of times, and then we have gone to the food bank and carried it in the back together, and then I show them, this is the food bank, guys. They pile food here for a reason, because families come here because some moms and dads aren't making enough money right now. And so we walk in the front door too. They say, you see this? People need this. And we're going to have a conversation about it over dinner time tonight, where you are eating a whole lot better than some of these people are going to. You could do that. You could, when you're at Shoppers Drug Mart, you could pick up some extra toiletries and have your kids bring them to the front here. Right? We have baskets for these every week that we take down. I regularly take this stuff down to the mustard seed. You could do that. Have your kids write to the children that you sponsor. Sponsor a kid, and then have your kids write to them. Right? You could do this. Teach them to tithe from their allowance. Teach them early on that giving and thinking of others is important. It's crucial. It's mandatory, actually, according to God. What about baking muffins for the Normandale school lunches? You know, they regularly need that. Take it over there. They would love for you to do that. And while we're on this note, you guys who signed up for that Hope Mission meal on Friday absolutely blew away Hope Mission with how many volunteers showed up and how much you provided desserts. You guys made Hope Mission feel really loved and well-supported, and you made it a whole bunch of people in the North End here whose kids attend these programs. You made them feel really loved. So well done. Way to go, Unity. Because you blew them away. We had so many people volunteering, we were standing around looking for things to do. Like, it was awesome. And it was a win. So well done. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Walk humbly does not mean you need to remind yourself constantly that you are not important. Walk humbly means we remind ourselves constantly that God is more important, and therefore God sets the agenda. And we walk humbly following his lead. That's what walking humbly is all about. And in fact, people have often noticed that the up, out, and in is somewhat arbitrary. That in a sense, you can't love God and not love your neighbor as yourself, which is why Jesus links those two. And if you're loving your neighbor, you are loving God. So that it's somewhat arbitrary, right? It's important to remind ourselves that there are those distinctions, but it's sort of a fuzzy distinction at the same time. So we should be walking humbly. and loving God by loving the people he loves, the creation that he cares for, and so on. Now, Micah says that the reason that God requires all this is because this is what God is actually like. God loves justice. God loves mercy. God walks with his people. Would you go to the next slide, please, Annika? Let's look at the ending verse, the last few verses of Micah, chapter 7, verse 18 and following. Who is a God like you, says Micah, who pardons sin and forgives transgression, the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show, and this is our word again, chesed. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot, and you will hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob, and you will show covenant love to Abraham. That's chesed again. Just as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. Have you ever heard of a kid who has said to a parent, "You guys just had us so that we do your cleaning"? One or two of you have, right? That, outside of Israel, all the other peoples in the ancient world, that is essentially how they thought about the gods. The gods had people, had followers to do their cleaning, to do their bidding. People were there as slave labor for the gods. And the people thought of the gods as individuals that they needed to bribe in order to get things. That's the relationship. It's slave labor and bribery in the ancient world outside of the land of Israel. And this God that Micah worships looks so different. It's unbelievable. Those gods you had to keep happy, and you never knew how happy you were keeping them. And if they're happy enough, they might throw you a bone. But if you crossed them, look out. You are toast. Forgiveness is not a thing in the ancient world, except in Israel. Who is a God like you, says Micah? The answer is absolutely no one. No God anywhere else is anything like this God who forgives his people, who delights to show love. He will show it even to those who have not made him happy. And if you've been tracking along with us in the previous weeks of Micah, you know that Israel does not have a good track record, and they have paid for it. But Micah reminds them that deep down, God's character is ultimately about forgiveness and faithfulness. That chesed that we talked about. So we are to do justly and love mercy and kindness and generosity, because that's what God is like. Because God shows these things to the undeserving. That's what our God is like. And because we've received them, then we can extend them to others. So the first source of hope that Micah sees for his people who have been through hard times and God has punished them is that God will continue to be faithful to his character, first. And then secondly, he will be faithful to his promises. And that's where he ends. God made an unconditional promise to Abraham. Unconditional. I will make you a blessing, which means that regardless of how his followers, regardless of how Abraham's people, the generations that follow, regardless of how they behave, God is still going to be faithful to that promise to figure out a way to make them a blessing. And Micah looks around and he goes, we haven't become a blessing to the nations yet, which means there is hope for us ahead because God will stick with us because he made an unconditional promise to Abraham. And that's good news. That's good news for people who have screwed up this week. Right? It's good news for us too. God's faithful. So, I'm not going to talk for much longer, and if you would like to ask a question, including kids, some of the best questions that we have been asked in recent weeks have come from some of the kids up here, as you may have made noticed or you remember. So, are there any questions from young or old, something that you want to clarify or something that you want to talk about related to Micah, anything you want to ask? Going once, going twice, gone. All right. Jesus inherited Abraham's promise, that promise that we talked about. Right? Jesus is the ultimate expression of that, but we're still waiting for that to be fulfilled in the end. He has promised, Jesus has promised, to return and finish the job of making his people a blessing to the nations. And this is the reason that we have Advent. We are in this season of reminding ourselves that we are waiting for greater expressions of hope and peace and joy and love. That God is going to be faithful and show chesed, his compassion, his generosity, his mercy in new ways. We are waiting for these things. And in the meantime, what is most important is up, out, and in. For as Micah puts it, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. I'll offer you a moment for reflection, and then we'll continue in worship.